Welcome to the Your Dating Bestie podcast. I'm Ellie Klein, your best friend for all things dating. As a professional dating mentor, kind of like the love child of Carrie Bradshaw and Crocodile Dundee, I help women go from dating sucks to dating success with my unique best friend approach. Ready to find your Mr. Right? It all starts at yourdatingbestie.com. Hello, and welcome back to this special podcast series. And just like that, you're inspired to find love. Dating advice based on the show. This episode is based on And Just Like That, Season 1, Episode 2, Little Black Dress. So the first thing Carrie does after Big passes away is call Miranda. Miranda comes over and Carrie asks her, "What do I do now?" She doesn't mean "what do I do now" as in "do I start arranging the funeral?" She means "what do I do now" as in "what do I do with my life now that my husband is gone?" Answering this question is what the entire show is going to be about. What do you do with your life when you lose the person you were planning to spend it with? I know this is how I'd feel if I lost David. I wouldn't want to spend it with anyone else, but I also wouldn't want to spend it alone. So what would I do? Well, hopefully I won't have to ask that question until my 80s, or preferably at all. But it's a question millions of widows, widowers, and divorcees have to ask themselves. And the answer is different for everyone. Okay, next lesson. Stanford and Anthony respond to Big's death in the same way most couples respond to death. They vow never to sweat the small stuff or waste precious time bickering with each other ever again, and then almost immediately go back to sweating the small stuff and bickering with each other. This is totally normal. While it's a nice sentiment, I don't think it's realistic to expect yourself to live each moment as though you're going to lose your spouse tomorrow. So what's the solution? Pick your battles. You don't have to suppress all of your frustration just in case the last words you say to each other are angry ones, but you also don't need to verbalize every single little annoyance. Here's a good rule of thumb. If you can let it go, do. And if you can't, address it calmly, rationally, and fairly. Here's an easy 3-step system for addressing any issue with your partner calmly, rationally, and fairly. Step 1, positives. Start by outlining all the positives to help balance out the following negatives. Step 2, negatives. Express how the issue makes you feel rather than stating or insinuating that you're right and your partner's wrong. And step 3, solution. Offer at least one solution and discuss it until you agree on how to resolve the issue. So to recap, step 1, positives, step 2, negatives, and step 3, solution. Okay, next lesson. This isn't really a lesson so much as it is an observation. At the funeral, I found Miranda's speech, which was supposed to have been written by Carrie, really cold and empty, which is weird because Carrie's a professional writer. It was extremely impersonal. Those words could have been said about anyone. In the last episode of this podcast series, I said the bittersweet irony of love is that when you finally find it, you spend the rest of your life being terrified of losing it. So I've thought about losing David many times and then promptly burst into tears. But if, heaven forbid, I ever had to write his eulogy, well, don't even want to think about it, I know it would be so much warmer than this. Warm, personal, and heartfelt. Anyway, I think they missed a golden opportunity to tell the audience exactly what Big meant to Carrie after him going from her on-again, off-again boyfriend to her loving and devoted husband. Okay, this is the final lesson for this episode. At the funeral, the speakers are saying all these nice things about the deceased, as people tend to do at funerals. It's not really the time or place to say nasty things, but Carrie's old and loudmouthed friend, Susan Sharon, whispers to the person sitting next to her, "Am I the only one who remembers what a prick he was to her?" I could do an entire podcast episode on this alone, and maybe I will someday, but for now, the question is, was Big really that much of a prick to Carrie? Personally, my answer is, no, I don't think he was. And here's why. I think Carrie was a slow burn for Big. I think he always really liked her and felt a connection with her, but because she wasn't his usual type like Natasha would have been, he needed a little extra time to get to know her, fall in love with her, and commit to her. And she wasn't very good at giving him that time. She wanted him to know how he felt about her as quickly as she knew how she felt about him. And sometimes it just doesn't work that way. For instance, with Charlotte and Harry, it was the reverse. He knew how he felt about her immediately, but she needed a little more time. The difference was that Harry gave Charlotte that time rather than pressuring her or getting angry with her. He was good at laughing it off when he did something Charlotte thought was a bit icky, and he had healthy boundaries around how he was treated. He walked away from Charlotte when she made him feel as though she was too good for him, and he forgave her when she was deeply remorseful for that. But back to Carrie and Big. When it came to Big, I think Carrie should have done one of two things. Either she should have been more patient, or she should have been more open and honest about what she needed from him, and then, if he wasn't able to give it to her, she should have just walked away. Instead, she kept hanging around, trying to make him fall in love with her, not being open and honest about her feelings, making assumptions about the terms and pace of their relationship, and then completely losing it when things didn't go her way. She actually had way more control than she realized, but not over him, over herself. Learning how to control the dating process rather than letting the dating process control you is one of the most important things I teach inside the Your Dating Bestie community. Now, if you want to have a much quicker and smoother journey to Mr. Right than I did, here's my number one tip. Stop passively consuming dating advice and start actively learning how to date more effectively. Dating advice alone won't help you find love. All these articles, podcasts, videos, books, and courses are actually keeping you stuck. You don't need more information. You need implementation, someone to help you apply the advice. That's why I take a unique best friend approach to helping my clients find love. Inside the Your Dating Bestie community, you'll receive my step-by-step blueprint for finding Mr. Right, but more importantly, 24/7 access to me to help you implement it. You'll also receive a professionally written dating profile to make you irresistible online, and you'll be welcomed into a supportive group of like-minded ladies. No more going it alone or trying to figure out this whole dating thing by yourself. Care to join us? It all starts at yourdatingbestie.com. Are you an attractive, intelligent, and fun-loving woman with a big heart and you can't figure out why you're still single? Well then, my free report has all the answers. It's called Why You're Still Single. 7 Reasons a Luscious Lady Like You Hasn't Found Her Mr. Right Yet. Just visit yourdatingbestie.com.